The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're turning now to US politics. Just come back from holidays myself over in the US, so I'm interested in my next guest. Wasn't too gone on the tipping regime over there. I remember at one stage one man opening the door of my taxi and saying, could I have some money, please? Not sure pulling the handle of a door qualifies for that, but I'll talk a little bit to Jeff Cooner about that and other political developments. Jeff is at the Cooner Report, which he fronts up on WRKO Radio in Boston, where he describes himself as liberalism's worst nightmare, a conservative nationalist who champions God, country, and family, and that's just on a Thursday afternoon. How are you getting on there, please, Jeff?
Emmett, I'm great. How are
you? Good. Listen, before we get into the meaty political stuff, you're tipping. Sure. We're now hearing about tips that could be 25% of a bill. What's happening there?
Well, tipping has gotten insane in the United States, but generally the custom is if you go, say, for a sit-down dinner or a sit-down lunch, then say the bill, just let me, you know, $100. Let me just make up a figure. You would tip at least 20%. So it'd be like you would give, it's $100 for the tab and then $20 for the tip. If the service was really good, you tip like 25%, like $25 on 100.
Right. But can I, now, here's one for you, right? If you read The Economist this week, they're saying that we've tipflation, right? So it was 10% apparently back in the 1960s.
Yes. Yeah. No, it used to be much less. For example, in Canada, it's more like 15%. But in America, it's gone 20, even 22%. And if the service is really good, 25%. What's changed, Emmett, is what's putting a lot of stress on consumers, and frankly, it's become really annoying, is say you go to pick up a pizza, it's takeout, yep, or you get some burgers and fries or whatever. Well, they ask you for a tip. You know, at the machine, when you pay at the machine with a credit card or a debit card or whatever.
But Jeff, I got asked for a tip for a guy who opened that handle on my door of the car.
Well, that's the thing. Well, Emmett, the thing is about these taxi cabs. Yeah, in America, say it was a $20 fare or a $22 fare. It's expected to give like maybe $25, like just a couple of bucks. But like what's angering to people is, you know, I go to a fast food place, actually a very good one near my house. I'm picking up the food. I've already paid for it. I show up and they want me to give an extra 10, 15% tip. No way. Well, I mean, I'm picking up the food. What have you done? You've just made the food.
I've opened the door of the takeaway to get you in there. I should be tipped.
So generally, you should not tip if it's takeout. They're asking for tips, but Americans are revolting at that. But generally, the rule is 20%.
Yeah, I think we're into a 25% world in the next year or two. But hey, listen, I don't want to talk to you about tips. That's for another conversation. Just a personal gripe, right? Just a personal gripe.
No, I hear you.
Okay, now let's talk politics. We've got Biden and Trump both doing various things that we want to discuss with you. We're a bit tight on time, nevertheless. But Joe Biden, we know he's at the NATO summit. He gave a reasonably well-received speech. Okay, it was a teleprompter-based speech, but nevertheless, he got it done and got over that particular obstacle. But he is talking about doing a press conference where, you know, it's a bit more uncontrolled. The journalists can pretty much ask what they want. Is how big a moment is this, do you think, if he really makes a mess of that particular event?
Well, Emmett, to answer your question, according to the New York Times, the Washington Post, senior Democrats, I mean, this is not Jeff Cooner saying that. These are his, at least they were his allies until about 2 weeks ago. It's now going to be make it or break it for his presidency. This is going to be the defining test. There's a tremendous amount of pressure on him. The press conference is going to be in about 5.5 hours. And ostensibly, it's going to be about NATO. It's not going to be about NATO. They're going to be asking him about whether he has Parkinson's. They're going to ask him about a visit by a prominent neurologist that the White House tried to cover up in January. In other words, they're going to ask him whether he is still mentally, physically fit to fulfill the responsibilities and duties as president of the United States. And if he has a horrible performance, and we shall see, if he's rambling, if he's incoherent, if he can't finish his sentences, if he freezes, then I think it's finished. I think it's over for Joe Biden.
Now,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just teasing that out. If it is over for Joe Biden, we'll have to see. If you're in the Trump campaign, surely you want Joe Biden to stay in the race because there are all these public failings that are, you know, well documented, and you can, you know, kind of be a bit cruel, which is what Trump does about his failings and so on. all the other candidates are younger, right? Okay, they've got other issues or whatever, but they're all younger, fit, vibrant, you know, whether it's Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or whoever, right? So if you're in the Trump campaign, if I get Donald Trump, but in the campaign and the people around him, aren't you saying, good Lord, we really need Joe Biden to stay in this race because that maximizes our chances?
Emmett, I think there's no question. I think it's not just the Trump campaign. I think it's Trump himself. And what's changed in the last, I'd say, 10 days is up until 10 days ago, if you asked voters, who do you prefer, Joe Biden or Kamala Harris? There's no question they prefer Biden over Kamala Harris. What's now changed, as Biden's numbers are now in free fall, is that Kamala now polls better than Biden against Trump. In fact, in most polls, it's within the margin of error. Trump is still ahead nationally, but it's like 2 points, 1 point, 2.5 points. With Biden now, the latest New York Times poll, Trump is ahead in the popular vote, 49-43. In the battleground states, and that's where the election's going to be won, he's now running away with it in double digits. So for Trump, Biden is the candidate that he wants.
And who's the candidate he doesn't want?
I don't think he wants Kamala, although I think maybe he would beat Kamala. No, the candidate he doesn't want is Gretchen Whitmer. He doesn't want Gavin Newsom. In other words, there are very other candidates that I think could really expose his vulnerabilities.
Yeah, but some of them are like considerably younger than Donald Trump. You know, it's not a year or two.
You're right. But it's not just that. They're not tied to this administration. They're not tied to some of the failures of this administration. You know, you were talking about inflation just before we were coming in off the break. Inflation under Biden has skyrocketed. The border has become a crisis. Kamala was Biden's border czar. So Trump can still hit them on those two key issues. You put a fresh face, a fresh team, that takes that huge advantage away. And Emmett, look, the race now comes down to this. If Biden steps aside, the Democrats still have a chance to win in November.
Sure.
If Biden stays in the race,
it's over.
I think it's over. Okay. I mean, anything can happen. They have another debate scheduled in September. Trump can say something. But as things stand right now, if Biden is the candidate, Trump will be the next president.
Okay, Jeff, there's two other things I find remarkable. One, that your show, which proclaims God, country and family, is out of Boston, which is just a personal surprise, but we leave that aside, right? Well, not the city I expected you to be broadcasting from, right? In the heart of liberal Massachusetts. But the second bit I find remarkable is the Republican convention. I mean, this is normally, you know, way nearer the election day. Why is it coming up soon, or what's going on there?
Well, they wanted to go before the Democrats. And so Trump said, let's do it a couple of weeks. He is now, the big decision he's going to be making is who's going to be his vice presidential candidate. And he's really narrowed it down to three choices. Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who philosophically is very much an America First MAGA conservative. Marco Rubio, who is very articulate, very well known, an Hispanic and one of the rising stars in the Republican Party. The problem with Rubio is he comes from the same state as Trump.
Yeah, and also the second problem is, didn't he absolutely savage Marco Rubio years ago when they were running?
Yes,
like,
yes.
And everyone would be playing those clips endlessly if he
was
sick, right?
Yeah, little Marco, and so the insult. So there's a liability there. And then the other one, who's a dark horse candidate, but don't be surprised if he gets picked, is North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. Burgum is someone from the private sector. He's quite wealthy himself. But he's an oil man. He believes in drilling. He believes in energy independence. He and Trump have a great chemistry together. The problem with all three of them is the demographics of America have changed.
Where's Marjorie Taylor Greene gone? I thought she was in the race, no?
No, I think she's going to stay in Congress. No, okay. The one they were hoping for maybe was Carrie Lake, but she's going to focus on a Senate race. The other one, and the one that I frankly wanted, was Elise Stefanik. Okay. Stefanik is from New York. She's more of a moderate Republican, but she's a pit bull on certain issues. Trump doesn't think that she's effective enough as one of his surrogates. So he's either going to go with Vance, with Rubio, or with Burgum. The betting odds are in Vegas that Trump is going to announce J.D. Vance maybe this weekend. Why? He will help Trump in the Rust Belt. in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin. And if Trump wins those three states, it's over.
Okay, well, listen, there's a lot going on. Obviously, we've got George Clooney as well, just finally and a bit briefly. He's people say, well, so odd, he's an actor. Why do we care what he says? But he's a major Democratic Party donor. And he's kind of like the head of the sort of the Hollywood sort of Democratic kind of group, loosely speaking. So he is influential, isn't he? And when he says Joe Biden should get out of the race immediately, it's not without its effects, right?
It's sent shockwaves. It's one of the biggest stories in the country right now. And you nailed it, Emmett. It's not just that he's a Hollywood actor. He is the co-chair of the Biden campaign. He held a huge fundraiser for him several weeks ago with Barack Obama. They brought in over $30 million. He's one of his top fundraisers. He's one of his top bundlers. He is connected to many big Hollywood donors. And the important part is it got leaked in today's Politico that before he wrote his op-ed piece in the New York Times, which was published yesterday, asking Biden to step down, saying if he doesn't, the Democrats are going to lose and they're going to blame Biden. He went to Barack Obama and he asked for Obama's blessing for the op-ed. And Obama gave it to him. So now Clooney put the knife into Biden, but the fingerprints are of Obama. And so what you're seeing now is Obama is waging a covert, surreptitious campaign behind the scenes to oust Joe Biden.
You got Barack Obama living in your head there, Jeff, no?
No, I mean, I'm quoting to you. I mean, it's the New York Times, it's Politico. I mean, in other words, this is what, you know, he, by the way, David Axelrod, Obama's former top advisor, has come out against Biden. David Plouffe, who managed Obama's campaigns, has come out against Biden. So the Obama camp, and it's nothing personal. He likes Joe. Yeah. They just look at the poll numbers. And when it comes to power, politicians are ruthless.
That is undeniable. Listen, I have to leave it there. Thanks for the guide through both parties. I think we've covered Democrats and Republicans in that dialogue. Jeff Cooner, as I said, is the host of the Cooner Report. God, Country and Family out of Boston, Massachusetts. That's a liberal bellwether state, so he's doing well to survive in that particular state. Thank you for updating us on that and all the tipping culture that's going on in the States.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.